Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm your quarantined and self-isolated hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz. And welcome to In Yo Mouth!
In Yo Mouth.
I'm the queen of food who's always in the mood.
To lick it right, lick it good, show you how to
Oh, God, that's good.
I want to know what you eat from the streets to the sheets.
So open wide, honey.
I'm coming.
In
got the goosebumps.
Hey there and welcome back, folks. Once again, I'm your hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz. And how are we doing, people? How are we doing? Are we self-isolating, self-distancing, quarantined? Ugh, my, how the world hath changed. Like, 2 Fridays ago, even 2 weekends ago, the news was kind of bad. We didn't know where it was going. This is going to be okay. And then Monday hit and everything changed. Ugh, whatever. Listen, I'm here in the Times Square studio quarantined myself, just trying to, keep sane. But enough of that for now. We'll get into like a little bit of the coronavirus later, but I'm trying to keep today light and easy. And to help me do that, I have, just inquired the help of one of my dearest friends, one Jackie Gordon. I met Jackie Gordon many, many years ago. I call her like the mother of all food bloggers. Or if you want to know anybody in like the foodscape world, they are either one step away from Jackie or just know Jackie herself. I love her. She's kooky. She is the singing chef, right? Just like me. She sings and she cooks. She hails from Brooklyn. I love her so much, and I just thought it would be a fun, easy-peasy episode for y'all today to, like, laugh and take your mind off, like, the world for 40 minutes. So I'm going to just get her on the phone and get this started.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Who are you?
Oh, my goodness. Just stuck here in the Times Square studio all by myself.
I was going to sing that song yesterday on my show. I was like, I was like, big boys don't cry. Big boys don't cry. Remember that. Big boys don't cry, Michael.
Oh, wow. Big in what sense, Jackie?
He wasn't specific.
Oh, my goodness.
But you know.
Hello. How are you holding up over there in Brooklyn?
8 days a week. 8 days I've been in the house. I have not left the house except to go into the backyard. But I've been here for 8 days except to go in the backyard because I had a little dry cough. And, of course, I thought I was going to perish. So I had to keep myself, and I'm the droplet queen, hon. I have a chronic sneezing allergy, so I sneeze every day, and it's like 7 sneezes in a row, at least like 3 times a day, And I would send the people running for the hills if they saw me on the street. So I'm like, I don't need to put anybody through that. I'm like, before the weekend before, I was like, achoo, allergies, allergies, everyone, allergies.
Oh, my God. I'm sure you're sending the listeners of the pod stuck at home running away from their speakers right now.
Exactly. Don't run. It's only an allergy. I had it before the coronavirus. Whoopsie.
Oh, Lord. Well, I am so happy to have you on the pod. It's been a long time coming, and sadly enough, or maybe even funnily enough, that this has brought us together here because we are stuck. We have nowhere to go. You have a little bit more space than I do, and just a delicious little man by your side, might I add.
And my mommy.
Your mommy. Right? So listen,
I'm hooked up, baby. I can stay here forever.
All I have is my little friend over here whose name has changed about like 6 times over the week, from Giancarlo to Damien to Lucas to...
So where is he? I don't see him.
Oh, well, you know, he's in the box where he belongs.
Oh, I understand. They said at one point, I remember someone saying earlier in the week that you needed to find someone to blame, you needed to create a new person in your house so you would have someone to blame so that you didn't fight with the people that you were quarantining with. I told Paul we needed a safe word. he didn't believe me. But it's getting goodness. Closer.
Yeah, I'm sure. Listen, my friends and I have a safe word when we go out, and it's pineapple. Because it's really easy to work into a conversation if you're out drinking and then like someone crazy comes up to you or you're like, I'm not sure about this situation. You're like, oh my God, this pineapple drink. Oh, do you need another pineapple and tequila? Like,
And do you guys leave then, or do you all just give each other a knowing eye?
Oh, yeah. Well, depending on the situation, we figure out a way to get out of the situation by using the word pineapple. And I don't know. I don't know if they'll all appreciate that I gave our safe word out on the air.
But oh, sorry. You're going to have to change that to a new safe word. We have one. I have a friend who we do. I've been on this never-ending chat on Facebook, like Facebook Messenger, with these same 3 people for, I don't know, 8 months. And I thought it was going to drive me crazy. And it didn't, but one of them gets a little crazy, and we have our safe word is shrimp gravy.
Shrimp gravy. Yes. That's a little harder to work into the conversation.
It's not. It's just like shrimp gravy. You have to stop talking now. Dial it back, boy. Shrimp gravy.
Well, before we get anywhere else, I really want to wish you, Ms. Jackie Gordon, happy National International Waffle Day. Yes. Did you even know that it was International Waffle Day today?
Absolutely not. I did. I have been seeing people doing some weird things with waffles this past week, but and they had those tater tot waffles, which are called totfuls. But I thought twatfuls would be better. Twatfuls. That sounds like that's a better name. So much easier to say.
I don't know if people would enjoy a twat. I, you know what?
Who doesn't want a twatful?
Oh my goodness.
That's how I'm celebrating.
Yes, but with, oh my goodness. Well, I can't wait till this is over so I could have a twatful myself. I'm not a big waffle person. I've never happened.
Me neither.
I'll have a bite. Like, I'll have a bite. Are you a sweet breakfast or a savory breakfast person?
I'm a savory breakfast.
Always, right?
I can't with this pancakes and waffles and cereal. I'm just like, meh.
No.
I can eat them for dessert. That's where they belong. I think they belong as dessert, like brunch dessert. Then we all have our Benedicts or whatever we're having for brunch and yumminess, all savory. And then afterwards we order pancakes and we all have a bite because I can only ever eat a bite.
Yeah. Before this whole lockdown happened, my friends and I went to L'Amico. Have you been to L'Amico?
No, but I see it in my mind. Where is it? Is it on like 6th Avenue?
It's on 6th Avenue in the 30s.
It's like in the Event Hotel.
Yeah, in the Avanti Hotel. It's a Clinton Hotel. Shout out to you out there and all the restaurant workers who are struggling. But we went there, and they're famous for their lemon ricotta pancakes. And my friend John ordered them. And this comes out like a stack. It comes out like almost like a cake, like a mini cake. And when you cut into it, it's so beautiful because it looks like you just cut into a cake. Delicious. Delicious. Oh, cool. But I had a bite and that's all I could have.
Well, I mean, how much pancakes can you really eat? I know there's some people, I have one friend who posted, he made like 15 pancakes for breakfast the other day in his quarantine and he ate them all. But he's like that big. He's like the skinniest thing. And he needs to eat 3,000 calories in order to gain like 1 calorie of weight, which we want to slap him all the time. But anyway, he can like down all those pancakes. And I'm like, I can eat a bite of pancakes. Something about eating pancakes, I feel like they've like blown up in my stomach, you know, after I take the bite.
Same difference. I have one bite of these pancakes and they're very dense. They were light and fluffy, but very filling immediately. But delicious, but just something about like sweet breakfast. They also at L'Amico had this cheesecake stuffed French toast.
Okay.
Oh, mercy. Delicious. But I don't want it for breakfast.
No. I would eat it for dessert. But give me a bag of potato chips and I can eat it all day long. I don't understand why salty food, I have no restraint. And I just keep eating and eating and eating and eating. But give me one bite of pancakes. I'm like, oh, I'm done. I can't eat any more of these. I'm so full.
Maybe that's our key to weight loss if we ever wanted to go on a diet. Just fill the house with sweet things and you're like, oh.
Exactly. I remember back in the Stone Age, Buzzy O'Keefe, who owns the Water Club and the River Cafe, used to throw a Halloween party at the Water Club. And it was like a big ticket. Everybody wanted to go. And I went one year and all he served was drinks, all you could drink, and everything else was sugar. So you can't drink if you're eating cake. I mean, that's another thing. I don't like cake, sweet things with alcohol because they don't go together. It's like either or. Because I like a sweeter drink. I mean, I like wine and stuff, but if I'm going to drink a drink, I like a gin and tonic. I got something with a little bit of sugar in it. Yeah. I can't have that and have something alcoholic. You know, sweet with it.
I'm kind of the same way. Even though when I was in Spain last, in Madrid, if you order a savory drink, they'll bring out pretzels or olives or like savory things to eat. If you order a sweet drink, they'll put down a bowl of like gummy candies in front of you.
Well, that's weird. No,
yeah, I found it kind of amazing.
Yeah, did you like it?
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, you're getting like those sour strips and the sour candies and whatnot. Right. So, it was really interesting and really fun. I want to take Jackie, though, listeners, right? Just moving right along through this podcast, through this day in gay history, because with all the things that are happening in the world, why not just call on our ancestors of the past to hopefully save us?
Good luck with that.
You know, but Jackie, on this day in 1985, The Times of Harvey Milk wins the Oscar for Best Feature-Length Documentary, accepting the award. Producer Richard Schmeichen thanks his male lover. Look at that. That's a
1985.
Little... Yeah, 1985. Wow. Yeah. That got a little happy news for the day.
That is happy news for the day. That was early. Were you even born in 1985?
Yes, I was.
As I was, and I was already old.
Well, thank you for thinking I wasn't born in 1985, even though this morning podcast here, we're like in our robes and I am unshaven, unshowered.
You look handsome.
And you look gorgeous ever.
Oh no, I don't. I mean, that's the thing. You start getting, my mother's been chasing me with a scissor. She's like, you gotta, my mom's half Jewish, so she's like, you gotta cut your payas. I gotta cut the payas, the curls on the side, because she can't stand them. When they get like an inch long and they start to curl, she's just like, so she starts running after me. I'm going to have to be your hairdresser, she tells me yesterday. I'm like, she said, I'll just cut the sides and then I'll start getting this eraser head kind of thing going on.
Listen, throwback to the flat tops of the 80s. Yes. So moving right along, Jackie and I have known each other for quite some time. Do you remember how we met?
Oh, I know. We met over pancakes.
Didn't
we meet at that event where you were making red velvet pancakes?
You know where I thought we met? And I completely forgot about that event. That, and they don't,
It was exist. Your Zocos, it was called, and they don't exist anymore. They were trying They were trying to be like an Airbnb of like parties or something like that. Or
something like that. It was in an office building. Was it down in the financial? I don't remember.
Yeah, what it was Cookster. Wasn't it the Cookster office?
Cookster.
Yes, because Cookster, I think, was the online catalog of all cookbooks.
Something like that.
Wasn't that remember. It? Wow. You just shocked my memory. I actually thought it was Tech Munch before that, but how funny. Over pancakes.
No, because I think of Red Velvet Pancakes, and you were working it. You had like an outfit and a whole station set up.
And a griddle. Like,
and it was a competitive thing, wasn't it? Yeah, cooking thing?
So, In Your Mouth listeners, this company that used to exist invited me and a whole bunch of other food bloggers back in 2010, 2000, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, 2011, to a City Harvest fundraiser where all these food bloggers would make a dish and then everybody invited would pay, I think, a ticket price and also bring canned food to deliver to City Harvest, which delivers food to the homeless and needy people of New York City. And in that event, the guests would go around and have this like food blogger tasting, and they would vote for fan favorite. And so it was in this office space with no kitchen. And so 95% of all the people participating brought cold food. Yours truly picked up a griddle and brought batters and all sorts of things. And I was making red velvet pancakes with bourbon maple syrup and vanilla mascarpone. And guess who won?
I think I made, so I have something I call chicken sushi, which sounds totally disgusting, but it's not. It's so it's sushi, but instead of rice, you use chicken and you bake it. So it's like a nori sheet. Then you take the chicken and you smack it in there and kind of bang it out inside the nori sheet so it's thin, super thin. And then you put vegetables in and then you roll it up and then you bake it in the oven. And then I took them and sliced them and put them on popsicle sticks. That's what I brought to them.
That's delicious.
And then you dip them. Yeah, it's so cool.
Why hasn't anybody done what I'm going to call fushi or foshi in this city? Sushi
that's
not sushi, that's other things, like Italian sushi, like rolls, like,
I see you at Smorgasburg.
Right? Something like that. It's such a good idea.
So labor intensive, though. That's like to make work. We make work. We're just like, oh, yeah, it's a great idea. It's work.
How did you get into cooking and just into this world? Because as I mentioned in the beginning of the pod, before we got on the phone, Jackie is like the cooking guru, the mother of all food bloggers, I'll call her, because she is she is like the connect. She knows everybody. You want to meet somebody, you called in like the foodscape world, you call Jackie Gordon. She knows somebody who can get you to that person or knows them herself. How did you become this person and this like being of like all food knowledge?
I don't even know. The thing that people say about me, the most common things, everybody knows Jackie. When I get introduced to people, people are like, oh, I already know her. Everybody knows Jackie. That was going to be the name of my new product, but I changed it to Let Me Connect You. That's my new product. Let me connect you. But so what happened was I was born in across my hurricane. So I was born to food people. My great-grandmother cooked her way to America, feeding the men who built the Panama Canal. She had carried like food on her head for 5 miles of craziness. She was from Jamaica, Panama, New York. That's on the Jamaican side. And then on the Italian side, Italian and Russian side, my other grandmother was Italian, but converted to Judaism and had to live like a Jew and cook like she was Jewish, except that she would tell my grandfather that it was veal when the food was pork. So, who knows? She was doing it wrong.
That's like my mother. Anytime I would bring somebody that's like vegetarian over the house, oh, they can eat the rice. They won't know, right? Meanwhile, there's like pork products in it and all sorts of things.
They'll love it. They're going to be like, oh my God, this rice is so fabulous.
Yeah, till the next day where they're strapped to the bowl.
Oh, sorry. Or they're horrified. My sister-in-law didn't eat pork either. I was like, girl, we're going to have a problem. Houston, we're going to have a problem up in here. So we So I always cook. So I grew up cooking. My my father, who left when I was very young, is also a really incredible cook. My mom was the only one who really wasn't a cooking kind of person. So I took over the cooking as soon as I could. And probably that was like 10 years old. And I've always cooked and sang. So that's why I'm the singing chef. That's another thing.
And where did the singing come from?
It's crazy. I always sang. It was kind of, you know, how did you start? You just start, open your mouth and you sing.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to be a singer because I didn't think I had the stones for it. I certainly didn't have the courage for the New York City singing scene. But when I got to it, I remember being in high school. I went to Brooklyn Technical High School and I told this girl I wanted to be a singer. And she was like, you're never going to be a singer. And I took it seriously. And I was like, oh, I guess not. Because this expert child told me you're never going to be a singer.
And anyway, little did we know that was Barbara Streisand. No.
Exactly. Oh, no. My mother went to school with Barbara Streisand. How did you know that?
Yes, because we've talked about this before. Okay, cool. Our mothers went to Erasmus Hall, my mother after your mother.
Okay.
Right? Because there is a little age difference here.
Oh, maybe. I wasn't born in 1985.
So yes, our mothers have that in common, that they both went to Erasmus Hall in Brooklyn.
Yes, and my mother and Barbara were friends in high school, and they used to eat at Horn and Hardart's together. They used to take their own lunch to Horn and Hardart's. You know, remember what a Horn and Hardart is?
No.
Remember the automat?
Oh, it's an automat. For those young people out there, an automat is a place where you used to go and put like a nickel into the wall, into like a certain compartment of like what food you wanted. Think like a Pret a Manger or something with all the sandwiches. Yeah. Think about that behind like glass, and you'd have to like put money in to get the sandwiches out.
All I wanted to do was eat those crappy sandwiches because it looked so cool. Put your money in, you get your little egg salad sandwich out. And my mom and Barbara would go to the Horn and Hardart and they would bring their own food.
Well, listen, you know, desperate times.
But they both accelerated early, so that's how they knew each other. But she dusted my mother after high school.
Well, you know, and look at her now. Do you remember they tried to open, bring back the automat on St. Mark's Place? Like,
I do.
Years ago.
Yeah, it was like a pink place. It was very, like, Japanese looking, and they tried having, I don't know whether it was like donuts or it was only sweets, I think. Was it savory food or just sweets?
I think you may be right. It was only sweets. I never went in, but I always passed it.
I know it looked fabulous, but it's still, I mean, it was in its day, it was something, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe it's the new Corona uptake. And you'll sterilize the bleach the inside of that thing, stick your food in, and then you put your glove on and get your money and pull your food back. Oh, I think we have a new business here.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? I travel a lot in the summer up into upstate New York, and in the Catskills, there's a butcher who sells meat that way. So it's on the side of the road, it's this giant refrigerator, and it has meat in it, in compartments, and you put your money in, or you don't put your money in, obviously, you put in a credit card, and then you can take out your, like, filet mignon or your chops or whatever from the automat.
How cool is that? Is that the way I'm going to have to relate to gay men now?
Dear
homosexual men, please put your meat in a vending machine, a disinfected vending machine, so I can just put my money in, pick out the one I want.
Exactly. And no fear, no disease, no virus.
Hello. Thank you. But before we move any further, I think it would be really fun to take you to my favorite part of the pod and the audience's favorite part of the pod. Are you ready, Jackie Gordon?
I'm ready.
For a little bit of food news update. Food news.
Ooh, honey,
you ain't ready,
girl.
Spill the tea. Captain Morgan released an orange vanilla twist rum flavor that you can drink on the rocks or mix.
Oh, yum-ish, I suppose. It didn't sound bad. Orange vanilla rum, I'm there.
Yeah, they say it tastes like a creamsicle.
A creamsicle, exactly. It was like, I was a sherbet. Remember sherbet?
Sherbet or sherbet? What else do they call it? Or sherbet?
Sherbet. Sherbet, yes. Sherbet flavored rum, hon. We
you
need say as much alcohol
sherbet,
as we can get, so.
And I say sherbet.
I say sorbet, which isn't the same thing. I said, no, milk. There was milk. It was like an orange pop that was what there was vanilla on the outside and orange. God knows what made it orange. Maybe oranges, but I doubt it because it's America.
Yes.
You know, the pop. You got to get the Mr. Softy or the, who was the guy? Good Humor. The Good Humor Man.
The creamsicle pop.
Creamsicle pop,
yeah. Yes, from the Good Humor Man. Well, there isn't very much to this, and I picked this food news update just because we're stuck in the house, we're ordering from the liquor stores, and why not bring a little summertime to the quarantine in your life?
Because if you think this sucks now, when it is summertime, it's serious. So get your creamsicle alcohol into ya, and you'll forget.
You will forget. Put on the sunglasses and a Speedo and drink some. But what would you mix this with is what I want to know.
Ice and your tongue. Okay. No, I mean, you could put vodka in it. Why not? What has it got in it? Rum? That would be nasty.
No.
Well, maybe vodka. No, vodka would work.
What? You're just going to make like a Long Island iced tea and just really
sure.
Like.
Honey, just, make it strong. Keep it
you know,
coming.
You'll pass out and wake up when this is all over.
Hopefully. Will it ever be over? It'll never be the same, that's for sure.
Anywho, Captain Morgan Orange Vanilla Twist is a summer edition bottle, so it most likely won't be around for long. So if you call your local liquor store or you're drizzling it, check it out, pick up a bottle. Let us know how it is and let us know what kind of cocktails you're making in your home. Popeye's quarantine-focused fried chicken and chill campaign sets you up with Netflix.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, because Netflix and chill, doesn't that mean like have sex while you're watching TV?
Yeah.
Isn't the chill part? And then you're going to bring fried chicken into the mix?
Hello? I mean, well, what's better?
What's the order of those things?
well, in my house, it doesn't matter because I got my little friend in the box. I got my fried chicken. I could be as loud as the hell I want.
I know, but I'm one of these people who doesn't allow like sex and food together because it's not my thing.
Really?
Because I can't stand. No, I don't. I can't stand crumbs. I don't be laying in a bed of crumbs. There's no tortilla chips loud in the bedroom. There's no like honey dripping all up. No.
No like whipped cream or strawberries.
No.
Strawberries.
No. Splooging. It's an anti-splooging zone.
You need one of those like sheets, you know, one of them like
rubber mat.
Yes,
like rubber sheet. That's right. You can do a slip and slide on the honey and the whipped cream. I mean, it's one thing to do it like in a hotel room when you've got like another bed and you don't have to clean it yourself.
Hello.
How nasty must it be?
Why do you think they call it a comforter? Anywho, Popeye's new quarantine-themed ad campaign, Fried Chicken and Chill, actually manages to be quote-unquote thoughtful, classy, and fun all at once, according to Delish.com. So here's how it works, and this is an article from Monday, actually. You post a photo of yourself eating your Popeye's takeout chicken on social media and hashtag it that password from Popeye's. If you're one of the first 1,000 people to do so, oh, well, too late, too little too late probably by now, you'll get a Netflix username and password from Popeye's.
Oh, is like that free?
Yeah.
For how long? Excuse me, a burp. For how long?
It doesn't say. It just says you'll get a password from Popeye's.
Oh, that's not a bad deal if you don't already have Netflix. Give me something I don't have.
Disney Plus.
All the channels, huh?
Disney Plus.
Disney. No, I don't. Actually, I have access. I have access to Disney Plus if I'm really, really desperate. We just got BritBox the other day.
What's BritBox?
BritBox is all the British television you can eat.
Oh.
You know, so we're watching Vera, and Shetland. Oh, actually, are we watching Shetland? Yeah, Shetland and Vera. I was actually thinking about calling Shetland.
Well, listen, I'm here for Popeye's fried chicken and chill because everybody is using my Netflix. So sometimes I can't even sign on to my own Netflix. So I could use a different password and login just to have my own. I wonder how many Netflix accounts Popeye's has,
really?
You know, because it's only five people per time. So 5 into 1,000 into like only X amount of people can watch. That's a whole lot of math that I'm not.
That's a lot of math, dear. My head hurts already. It's very early in the morning for this.
Well, congrats, Popeyes. We're here for it. Jose Andres cooked a meal for Washington, D.C. firefighters after they couldn't get food for their evening meal. Once again, Jose Andres comes to the rescue.
This was on top of him turning his restaurants into community kitchens.
Yes, I wanted a little feel good food news update. So, as you know, In Your Mouth listeners, I'm a big fan and supporter of Jose Andres because he's forever coming to the rescue of those in need via food. And most recently, he's turned all his kitchens, like Jackie said, into markets and
community kitchens
to feed those who need food. And most recently, returning from a fire, Barracks Row Engine 18 and Truck 7 found empty supermarket shelves when they shopped for their evening meal. And Jose Andres came out to cook for them. So, because they're just doing the most here, you know?
I actually was talking to somebody about Jose. You know, I run a cookbook author club here in Brooklyn that I started about 7 months ago. And we did Jose Andres in October, I think. And I was talking to him about him the other day with somebody. And someone said he's actually hilariously funny on top of being a great humanitarian and chef. So I'd like to see him doing stand-up soon. Because that would be good. Jose, the Jose Comedy Hour.
Jose, if you're listening.
Make us laugh. Make us laugh.
Please give us your Netflix comedy hour.
Yeah, give him a special. He could like make food and make us laugh. I mean, simultaneously, let's do it. I love Little Spain. I love that whole little.
Oh my God. Yes. It's probably like the third place I'm going after this whole thing is over is Little Spain.
You're going to like eat your weight in potatoes bravas?
No, patatas bravas and tortillas. In Your Mouth listeners, Spanish tortillas aren't your like normal like tortillas that you use for like burritos and whatnot. It's this egg and potato dish that's like creamy and eggy and oniony and delicious.
and they make the only patatas bravas, the best ones I've ever had from at Little Spain as well. They have like the spicy, this really rich spicy tomato sauce, and then garlic aioli on top of it. What about it?
Yes,
I haven't had a bad dish there. I've been there a bunch of times. I love it. It's my favorite food court in New York City.
Yeah, one of mine as well. And I just wanted to shout out Jose Andres on this day during this time, just as a little feel-good food news update, you know, as someone who's out there.
He's always out there, putting himself
in the trenches and helping the people. And with that, I think this is a great end to food news update. How was that for you, Jax?
I love food news. I mean, it's the only kind of news I really want to look at. All the other news sucks. I mean, we get bad food news as well. Did you hear about these people fighting at Carbone?
No, for why?
So Carbone opened up and we're doing takeout because restaurants can still do takeout. And there were so many people waiting for delivery and they weren't social distancing. They were all kind of crowding around the door. All these delivery people in masks trying to wait for their number. And it kind of broke the restaurant and they had to stop doing takeout food because people were fighting and they had to call the police and stuff. So
wow.
People, be kind. Be kind out there.
Honestly. In Your Mouth listeners, and Jackie, you know as well that I live in Times Square and my window looks down on what used to be one of the busiest corners of Times Square on 8th Avenue. And every day there has been some sort of fight on my corner that I can see from my window where the police had to come. I mean, I don't know what the city is doing with our homeless folk because they are running the streets from what I can see here. I mean, I even told Jackie before that we started recording this podcast is that like the construction out my window has started again on the building across the street. It's like, wait, what?
They're not social distancing. Are they next? Are they wearing masks at least?
No, no. This man is in a t-shirt and a hard hat, and that's it. And it's not even that warm out for a t-shirt.
No, it's cold out there.
Yes. Anywho, what have you been? So one of my favorite things about Jackie is that simple is not in Jackie's vocabulary in any which way, shape, or form. Even when she's intermittent fasting and breaks that fast and makes a quote-unquote simple breakfast for her first meal, there is nothing simple about it. And I thought it would be really great to hear just what you're cooking during this whole time, because your fridge is stocked with the most.
It is the most.
You have duck fat in there. You have hot cross bun batter in there. You have you have all sorts of things.
Chest freezer. I have to admit, I do have a chest freezer as well as a refrigerator.
And what a lovely chest it is.
It is.
Woo. I bet you get a lot of compliments.
I used to when I was younger. No, I've been cooking. I've been cooking up a storm. Like last night for dinner, it was Monday, and I made crab cakes. I had these roasted carrots, these organic, you know, those little baby carrots that want to come in all the colors. They were tasteless. I'm telling you, they were the saddest organic carrots, because I usually get the ones in the big bag that are the whole carrots with the peels on it. They're delicious. I don't know what they did to these poor carrots, but they didn't have a fighting chance. So I put them in the oven with coriander seed, cumin seed, and fennel seed kind of crushed, and salt and olive oil. And then I roasted them. And about, I don't know, 5 minutes before they were done, I put in some date syrup on them and glazed them with that. So they were yummy. I did bacon roasted Brussels sprouts. And then from my freezer, because I have a lot of food in my freezer, I took out a dish we call Grandma's Rice, which is something I make for Thanksgiving. Yes, that's how old it was. It's been from Thanksgiving. And I defrosted that. It's like a delicious rice pilaf with olives and Parmesan cheese in it. So yummy. And then I made a salad. This is just Monday.
Does like that rice pilaf freeze well?
Yeah, it freezes beautifully. I make a ton of it for Thanksgiving because, you know, I have two Thanksgivings, one on Thursday and one on Friday, and I usually have anywhere between, I don't know, usually like 12 people on the first day and anywhere up to 50 people on the second day. Because, you know, we love Thanksgiving, don't we?
Yes. Hello.
You and me.
Hopefully this is all over by then.
Please, please. And then for last night, so we wouldn't get scurvy, I also made a grapefruit, fennel, and cucumber salad. As you do.
You better Carol Channing me scurvy.
Listen, I worry about scurvy.
At this point, I wouldn't be surprised if scurvy, you know, the Corona's sister, comes back at us today.
That's a good drag queen name, though. Like something scurvy.
Corona scurvy. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Corona Scurvy.
Yeah, so I've been cooking. I don't play, because I think anytime it could be your last meal, and that's something that this current situation has really brought to light. We got to eat while we can. So
right?
We don't know. And while we're hungry, I mean, it's weird because I've only been eating two meals a day during this, because I usually cook a lot and I go out to eat a lot. Paul and I are very big supporters of the New York City restaurant industry. And luckily, did you know that I got to eat at Gage and Palmer?
No.
They opened and now they shut, because they opened like a week before this happened. And we were there for friends and family soft opening on the first day, like almost the first customers for realsies. And so that was fun. Was this, I feel really terrible for the restaurant industry, because how do you spend 3 years trying to open a restaurant, get it open, and then they're like, shut it down?
Yeah, I was really excited. There's a Filipino joint that was just about to open in my neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that Filipino food is like I feel like about to have a moment.
It is having a moment, but I got to tell you about the crazy Filipino place, which I will not tell you where it is, because I'm not going to out them here on your show, but to this Filipino restaurant for dinner a couple weeks ago. And
I can't, you whispered, I couldn't hear a thing.
He wasn't charging the proper sales tax.
Oh yes, that's on your, that is on your Insta, your Facebook story about improper sales tax charging.
I was like, with evidence though.
Yes.
With evidence. He handed me a piece of paper that showed me that he was charging me a dollar on a $150 bill. And I was kind of like, who does that?
Well, maybe this, minute of a shutdown will have him reassess those things. But I was really excited for this Filipino restaurant to open in my neighborhood because there's nothing I love more than some like garlic fried rice.
Garlic fried rice. Crazy. The first time I had that, Maharlika had a, before they opened Maharlika and Jeepney and all those places, they had a pop-up. There was this weird pop-up in one of these construction sites. They put all these the containers, you know, the shipping containers, and people opened restaurants and shipping containers in Brooklyn because Brooklyn's so hip.
Yeah.
And I went there and I had that garlic fried rice and I was like, what?
Yeah.
Why didn't I know about this?
Yes, my sister-in-law is Filipino and her mother can cook the house down. She makes an empanada too that is like unlike any empanada I have ever had because the empanadas come out orange. I don't know what she puts in the dough.
Oh, she puts like what's that stuff that makes the rice orange?
Achote.
Achote, yes.
Yeah. And then there's raisins in it. So it's like a little bit of sweet and savory. It's, I'm telling you, Jackie, she sends them to me like frozen in by the dozen because I'm obsessed and I could eat them by the dozen. They're so good.
Did she give you the recipe?
No. Mm-hmm.
Is she one of those people that won't share the recipe?
Probably.
I love a good empanada and I love lumpia and I love adobo. I love pork adobo. I love Filipino food.
Yes, so yummy. Yes, yes. Have you ever had the duck egg with the duck embryo?
No. I draw the line at the balut. I draw the line. Mommy's not eating no, you know, embryos or whatever, duck embryos. And I'm not a weird food person. I like food that I can recognize. I'm not a big, awful person. I'll eat liver and stuff and pate, but I don't want to be, I'm not going to like throw down on a plate of sweetbreads or anything. I'm not that sophisticated.
Oh, really. The last time I had sweetbreads, they were delicious. They actually tasted like McDonald's chicken nuggets. Right. I did a tasting menu at this restaurant in San Francisco that doesn't exist anymore. And the way I like to do tasting menus, especially if I'm at someplace super nice, is because I know something crazy eventually will come out. I always tell them tell me what it is after I experience it. So I don't have like any preconceived notions.
I understand.
So you really get the full experience blindly and then they come out and tell you what you've had and you're like, that's what that was. Oh my God, that was great. Or, oh, how'd you make the scallops taste like that? That didn't even taste like scallops or whatever it is, you know?
That's a good technique. That's a good technique.
Yeah. But c'est la vie to those moments. Right?
Well, maybe I used to work at a restaurant back in the Stone Age and Cindy Lauper, I was waiting on Cindy Lauper and she wanted to order the sweetbreads. And I'm like, girl, you know, it's not French toast, right? She was a vegetarian. She was like, thank you.
Well, Jax, before we close the pod out, as someone who is the ultimate home cook, and I'm sure you've seen all the Instagram lives of people just trying their hand at baking these days, trying their hand at cooking these days, just, you know, finally going to the grocery store for the first time. Blue Apron apparently is doing very, very well. That's that food ordering service.
Delivery service.
That you like cook the food. So mm-hmm. Like a lot more people are cooking these days. Do you have any advice for the beginner home cook or those people who are like trying their hand at becoming better at this during this time?
I think for me, because I'm such a food community person, you know, I don't think that people should be intimidated by food. I love that people are cooking more. I think it's great. I think if you have issues with cooking or you have questions, talk to your food friends. Talk to people who know. They're a stone's throw away from you on the internet. You know, you can go on Instagram, or even if it's not like, you know, a celebrity chef, you see somebody's food you like, tell them, you know, you have a question about it, reach out. Somebody this morning reached out to me and was like, I bought pomegranate syrup. What should I do with it? And so I said, drizzle it on something. But use your network.
Except don't use it in the bedroom.
No, it's stingy and sticky. No one wants that.
Stingy? I guess because pomegranates are acidic?
Could be. I'm not putting it on my hoo-ha. Maybe it's not stingy, but I don't like it in the bedroom, as you all know. But I think it's important to use your, in a way to connect people. I think the cooking is a great connector. That's why I've always loved cooking. You asked me how I became so well known in the food business, because food is a great medium for meeting people. So I would reach out to food people, meet food people on Twitter. That's where it all sort of started. I'm not even there very anymore, but that's how I met a ton of people. And I met them in real life, and we shared food together and we cooked together. And that's how I relate to people, because food is such a great connector, and it rides over race and it rides over religion. And we can all agree about the food, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's how we came together, over pancakes.
Over pancakes.
Over pancakes on this International Waffle Day.
Exactly. Go home, go make some waffles. Throw them out the window at the construction worker. I want to have people come visit my house and sit in my front yard, and I'm going to talk to them through the window. Hello, people.
Oh, my God. Like Pearl in 227.
What's Pearl in 227?
You don't remember the show 227?
No. What's 227?
It's where you come from with Jack A. Mary. And then Miss Pearl, Marla Gibbs.
I do. Something about it sounds vaguely familiar, but it's not throwing up an image to me in my mind.
It's where you come from.
Brooklyn.
No, it's 227. Annie.
I don't know what he's talking about, people.
Yeah, I'll send you a link later and I'll jog your memory.
It'll be like prison. I'd be like, I have some bars on my window. I'd be like rattling with a cup of cocoa.
Going, nobody knows
the trouble I've seen. Exactly.
Well, this has been so great and so much fun. Let the kids know where they can find you, because I know you're doing a lot of stuff on the internet and trying to connect people. Let the people know how they can find you and connect with you and ask you food questions, because who better to ask food questions than one Jackie Gordon?
Yes, ask me food questions. So my website is jackiegordon.com. We probably didn't talk about the fact that I'm a singing chef, but I am a singing chef. So you can go there and see me singing about maybe chicken or cheese or chocolate. And there's some of my recipes. I admit it, I haven't updated that site in a long time. And I don't have to, because no one pays me for it. Right? It's a gift. But there are some cool recipes on there. Maybe I'm thinking about dusting off my recipe writing skills and throwing up some new stuff. I am on Instagram at diva, that 8NY, although I think I'm going to change the name, so don't get lost. But it is Jackie Gordon on Instagram in New York City. I am also one of the top Google guides for food in New York City in the old days when we had restaurants that were open. So I have like a millions and millions of views of photos there. And you can actually follow me there, even though you can be following me around my house these days. And I'm starting a new product, which is Let Me Connect You. It's actually supposed to happen in real life at conferences and organizations, but I will be doing Zooms to connect people while they're in quarantine. Connect them to quarantine, life on the inside. So I'm going to be doing that on Zoom, and I'm not sure how you would find that, except what I'll do is I'll put a post up on Instagram, because that's my most, the easiest and place to find me. So I'll put up posts of food that I cooked last night and the Zoom links today. So I'm going to do my first Zoom today, so it's going to be rough.
Yeah,
but you can certainly come and join us.
Yeah, that's amazing. And maybe even a little Instagram live as you Zoom, so people can at least watch.
Do that?
Yeah, you can totally do that.
Oh, that'd be fun. I love that.
We'll talk about it after.
You're going to give me all the tips.
Well, that's great. And I'm obviously going to link Jackie Gordon out. I hope this was a little bit of relief from your from the insanity in your apartments being quarantined, especially if you're alone like I am. You know, stay safe out there, folks. Stay inside till this is all over. We never know who can be a silent carrier, so on and so forth. But I don't need to tell you that because the news and the internet is probably telling you that enough.
You need to tell them to stay inside. I don't think you can hear that enough.
Yeah.
Stay inside. Stay away from each other. Yes, stay away from each other.
Stay inside. Stay away from each other. Take care of yourselves, please. Please take care of yourselves out there. And as always, people, thank you for listening to In Yo Math. Yes.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.